At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Rachel. Rachel B. from Bermuda. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, my name's Rachel, and I'm a grapefruit carbon addict from the. I come from a little island in the middle of the ocean, 21 square miles. My clean date is July 4th, 1998. My home group is the SOS Sisters of Serenity group. We meet every Thursday, 6 p.m. at the Red Cross building. If any sisters are in town, please look me up. You can come. Any brothers, you can show up too. There's a man's meeting at the same time. He'll give you directions. God's true will for us. Who knows? I looked at that topic. I was like, wow. I was the only child, and I was born to a woman who came from a little island in the middle of the Atlantic, but it was in Bermuda, so she emigrated when she was 13, and she was very strict. She had me for a married man, so like Donnell, I was a bastard, and my granny used to say that. She used to say, used to visit, and she would say, "That's Colin's bastard child." That's how I used to get introduced to people, And my mom, I learned her story because my sponsor actually asked me to, you know, ask her about it once I got here. But when I didn't know what it was, I didn't understand her at all. And as you can see, I'm not the brownest of people, but I would go to school covered in welts for whatever reason, whatever I did wrong, whatever wasn't right. I could have washed the tub and left cleanser, you know, whatever was wrong. At 6 years old, at the hands of somebody she trusted, I was molested, and I thought, you know, that was just my world, and that was what the hand that God dealt me. So I learned very early that, excuse the French, God dealt me a shitty hand. Okay, and I used that, like that was my story. Everything that I got dealt was a shitty hand, and that's why my life was the way it was. And I want to tell you that that's why I believed I started using drugs, because I got a shitty hand. I learned after I got to Narcotics Anonymous that I didn't have a shitty hand. I just didn't have the tools to play the cards. So thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. I dropped out of school. You know the stuff. I don't have to get a drug law. I made it here. And when I did make it here, I was homeless and pregnant, and I was living in the Salvation Army shelter, and I had had a complication and had gone to the hospital, which alerted the authorities that I was homeless with this baby. And in Bermuda, I don't know about here, but if you don't have a fixed abode and a baby's about to come, then the social services are going to step in, they're going to take the baby, and they're going to do all those things. And, you know, so they, you know, came to me, made me sign a document that if I didn't find somewhere to stay, they would take my son. And so I signed that paper, and I came to these rooms, and they told me that, are there any newcomers in the house? Oh. Welcome. Please stay. Please stay. When I was like you, they told me, keep coming back. They told me that NA promises only one thing, freedom from active addiction. And they told me I only had to change one thing. Okay. So
I didn't really know what that meant, but I got me a sponsor right out the bat. And she told me to get myself out of the center of the universe and and put God there. And I think that was my journey, my first step to understanding what God's will for me was, because I understand today that my life, the cards I was dealt, everything, no matter how bad it was God's will for me. See, in the midst of the pain, I couldn't see that that was God's will for me. I couldn't understand that to be God's will for me. How could this? How could a God that's supposed to love me want these things for me? But if I didn't have those things in my life, I wouldn't be here today. And I wouldn't be able to tell you the stories that, you know, oh, my. I was introduced to this book. You all recognize it? Yeah. Just check it. I want to make sure I'm in the right place. And I think I just hurt so much that I wanted to do the work. You know, I didn't, they said it would help, and I said, okay. Like, my sponsor could have said, jump off a roof, it will keep you clean. I would have did it. Now, I just want to tell you that when I got clean, in Bermuda, we had 4 meetings a week. And so, of course, I had to attend our mother fellowship to do 90 and 90. And I did 90 and 90 for 9 years straight. And that's no lie. There are people in this room that can tell you that. Because what kept me clean, I'm the oldest woman in Bermuda Narcotics Anonymous. And so my connection is DC. You have no idea how special this is for me. Okay? This is special for me. I flew back and forth to read step work because my sponsor live in DC. Okay? So when I listen to people talk about the sponsor lives across the street and they can't go sit and do step work, I don't want to hear it. You know, we do whatever it takes. And so I'm going to share that experience of what God's will for me. Donnell talked about so much stuff that he touched me. I have a son. This Sunday is the 14th of April. My mom died 2 years ago Sunday. And I just shared with you about the pain and the abuse, but that's all she knew. You know, and she worked with what she had. And I had to find acceptance in that. And when I was a child and she would beat me, I used to pray, God, I hope she can be in pain like I'm feeling. And, you know, I hope she feel the pain. And I used to pray that. And I want to tell you, be careful what you pray for, because you just might get it. 2 years ago, my mom, well, first of all, she was very sick, very sick. She had a toe amputated. She was paralyzed. She was blind. She lost a kidney. She got a kidney. That kidney failed. She had triple bypass, all those things. So at her end, and so I saw that, be careful what you pray for. But at the end, 3 months before my mom died, I had to go to her house, breakfast, lunch, dinner. I had to bathe her. I have a son who's very active in his life. I had to take him to his extracurriculars, make sure that he was there, do my job, my 9-to-5, all of that. And I watched my mom cry in pain. And at her end, I got what I prayed for, and I wish I had never prayed for. You know, so anyway, when I was 5 years clean, I was at a WCNA in San Diego when we as a fellowship was celebrating 50 years, right? And I went to that convention. It was July 4th, and that's my clean date. And I was at a workshop, and the workshop was titled Humility. And it said, excuse me, it was Diane S. from D.C., and her topic was humility. So I was sitting there, and she opened up, and this is how she opened up. She said, and before I tell you that, I just shared I was going to the Mother Fellowship. I just told you I'm the oldest woman in the fellowship, so I had never heard a black woman say this, and I'm not racist. I just need you to know that I needed to identify. Okay, so and going to the mother fellowship, there were a lot of women there. They had a lot of clean time or whatever that time was, but they didn't look like me. And they used to say they found dignity in their fellowship, but I had never heard that. So I was at this WCNA, and there was Diane S. at the podium, and she said, "My name is Diane. I'm from a little island in the middle of the Atlantic, and I found dignity in the rooms of NA." Oh, my God. I was sitting in the back. I started snot-nosed crying. And people was like, "Oh, baby, please keep coming back. Please keep coming back." No, I'm celebrating 5 years. I'm all excited. I'm in San Diego, all these people. Snot-nosed crying. And after that, I ran up to her, and I said, please, would you sponsor me? And she said, yeah. You know, not at that time. We had some time in between. But eventually, she was my sponsor, and that's how I got to come back and forth to do step work. She said, "What are you willing to do?" And I was willing to do it.
That's right.
So moving right along, I'll never forget when I did my fifth step with her. And I flew up, and she had to go get her hair done. And I wrote all this stuff. And we got this long day plan of me reading this stuff. And I'm going to talk about the stuff. What I want to talk about is what she could see. And she said, she would say, "Rachel, are you okay?" And I'd say, "Yes, I'm okay." And she'd say, about 10 minutes go by, she's, "Rachel, are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay." And she'll say, the last time she said, "Rachel, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yes, I'm okay." She said, "Well, tell your face that." See, I came in here with this harsh, keep you away. I didn't want you to see in me. I didn't want you to know who I was. All that stuff that I had done, I was scared of you. I was scared of my shadow. I was scared of the sunshine. It didn't matter what I was, you know, I was just scared of everything. And she said, "We're going to work on you being vulnerable. And we're going to work on you allowing God to work in your life through people so that you can feel their love and you can feel connected, you know, because I kept you away." And that was the start of my journey. I just need to tell you that I've been here for a little while, but when she reached in and touched my heart, see, that's what we do. I think the basic text says sponsorship is heart, it's what, with a heart that beats. You know what I mean? So that's when my heart started beating. I felt it about, boom, boom, you know. And it's been beaten ever since. And so through her and that connection, I decided I wanted to get an education and do all these things. Because I didn't have my high school education when I got here. And it's amazing how God puts these things in your life. And I was working at a radio station. Well, when I first got clean, I was picking chicken at Kentucky Fried Chicken. And, you know, and yeah. Hey. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just letting you know. I was picking chicken at Kentucky Fried Chicken. And it was a job. I had a baby to feed. I wasn't worried. And there was another girl that was working at this radio station. And she said, "Rachel, you could sell advertising. I know you could do it." And I was like, "Me? Sell advertising? I didn't even have my high school diploma." She said, "You have the gift of gab." I said, "Gift of gab? Not me." And I went and applied for this job, and I got it. God's in true will for us. I can't see sight beyond what I can see. I just got to take a leap of faith. That's it. Like, just show up. And so I did it. And at this job, it was a television station, and they had this a GED program that was on the TV. So we'll come on the TV at night, and you did the thing, and then you went to do the exam. So I did it. I did it on the TV, and they had the exam, and I had to take the day off to go to work to take the exam. So I took the day off, and I need to tell you, this was a year and a half of program. So I did it, and I went to work, and I did the program, and then the exam came, and I took the day off to go to work, and I didn't go. I went to a woman in the fellowships. I drove straight across my job, and my mom was still alive then. And I went to this woman's place, and it was like a recovery place, and people came and drank coffee and talked all day. And when I got there, I said, I didn't go take the exam today. And she said, it's okay. God will give you another opportunity. And so I got in my car, and I had to pick up my mom from work, and she worked at the airport. So I pick her up, and when she got in the car, I said, before you ask me, I didn't go and take the exam today. And she said, I know. It's been all over the radio. They postponed the exam till December. And so in December, I went and took the exam, and I passed. And I should have, because one of my favorite things, I say this to my sponsees, even in my wheel, God's wheel is working. It don't matter what I'm doing, whether it's stupid or good, God's in it. I might feel some pain from the stupid and some blessings from the good, but God's there all the time. He's there all the time. And so from that, I progressed to some other things. And so I'm still at that job with the radio station. And now I have my GED. And thank you. And this is 8-9 years ago. And so I I love you more. And so I'm still at the job, and I want to change. Now a lot's going on. I got married in recovery. I divorced him 3 years later. You know the story. You know all that type of craziness. And I never used, and I kept my sponsor, and I did the work, and da da da. So I'm at this job, and I'm making $2,000 a month, and my rent's $1,800, and I've got all this bills mounting up, and I need a change. And I don't know where the change is coming from, but I'm in this job that I like. And I go to work one day, and I'm fired. Out of the blue. We have this new manager. He's from a different country. He does things a little bit different than we do. And I'm the lead on the job, and I'm fired. Now, I just need to tell you, this man he comes to work bright red every day, smelling like this spirit and that spirit. And him and I don't get along. He got that type of spirit in him, and I got this type of spirit in me. So we don't get along too well. So I go to work one day, and I'm fired. And because this is a union establishment, there are some different protocols that you have to follow that he didn't. And so, you know, they call a strike, and da-da-da-da, and they have to take me back. So he don't like me at all. And he would do stuff like come to work, and there would be 10 of us in the room, and he'd speak to 9 by name and not speak to me. My job became very unbearable. And I used to come to work, and I'm not making any money. I just told you, I'm $2,000 a month, and my bills are like double that. And I'm calling this Diane, this lady. See, I ain't forgot about the sponsor. Listen to me. And I'm calling her, and she say, pray, and you keep going back. You just keep doing it. So I show up to meetings, and I talk about how I want to catch him on fire. And I want to beat the crap out of him. But I go to work with dignity. You know, and I show up and I do my job and I do my 9 hours and I do what I'm asked to do. And I just keep going. And I need to tell you why. When he fired me, I just talked about my sick mom. He cited taking off a lot of time off work. But all my time off work was either from my ex-husband or from my mom. I didn't take any time for myself. And so I was introduced to that resentment prayer. And if any of you don't know what it is, it's when you pray for that person you don't like too much. And my sponsor said, I need to pray for him. And I'm telling you, I would get up and do my readings, and I'd be praying, and I'm like, okay. God, thank you for another day clean. Da, 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 da. Thank you for life and breath. Thank you for my son. Da, 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 da. Oh, and by the way, I need to pray for this guy. gritting my teeth. And I want to tell you, it became easier. 9 months later, my mom had to go for a test to Boston. And she was supposed to come back, and I would pick her up and take her to the hospital for dialysis. And didn't hear from her, so I called dialysis, and they said she didn't show up. And then the big search started looking for my mom, and she didn't come back. She was in the hospital. And 10:30 that night, I got a call from the cardiologist. He said, "Rachel, we did a heart test with your mom, and she has 3 blocked arteries. She needs a triple bypass. We need you here in the morning to sign for her surgery." And that's it. And remember, I just got fired for taking time off. So this is 9 months later. I've been praying for this man, but I know I don't have a job. So I call him up, and I say, "John, I just found out that my mom's sick, and I got to take some time. I don't know when I'm going to be back." And he said, "Go right ahead." I didn't get it. I caught the plane, and I went, and I was gone for 3 weeks, and I came back, and I landed. And I called John, and I said, "John," and I got his voicemail, and I said, I'm back. You know, my mom's surgery, she came through her surgery. I don't know if I have a job, but if you need me, I can come back to the office. And John said, he called me back. I'm sorry, I was in the bathroom. He called me back. He left a voicemail. And I kept this message for weeks. I took it to meetings and I played it because John called me back. I'm real sorry because this still touches my heart. He said, "Rachel, I'm so glad that your mom is okay." He said, "I prayed for her." He said, "I never prayed before in my life." He said, "You've been amiss in the office, and I can't wait for you to come back." Now, God's own true will for us, it's like Donnell said. He said, "I want to be like God." So if we can carry a message and walk with dignity and bring one person closer to God,
you better say that, babe. You better say that.
Just one person. Now, I'm be giving the 5 minutes. But there's a lot to the story, so I'm going to talk really fast. John gave me the corner office. I sat in that corner office. 2 days later, a girl that works at the office walked in my office, closed the door. She said, "Rachel, I watched you get your GED a couple of years ago. I don't have mine. Would you help me? They got a program. Would you help me?" I said, "Sure." I took her. We went. She signed up. Every night she called me. I help her with her homework. She graduated that December. And she asked me to come, and she stood to the podium, and she said, "My name is so-and-so, and I want to just thank Rachel." She said, "Rachel went through hell at our job this year." She said, "I don't know why she didn't quit." She said, "If I was her, I would have left. But I know now that she stayed for me to get my GED. I wish that was the end of the story. Right after that, a girl left, and she went to work at a big establishment, and they wanted to do some commercials, and she called me and asked me to sit in with her boss. And I sat in with her boss, and her boss, we talked about everything but the commercials. And she said to me, "If we didn't have a hiring freeze, I would hire you on the spot." She said, "But if a job comes up, will you be interested?" I said, "Sure, give me a call." 2 months went by, and I got a voicemail, and the voicemail said, "This is the lady. There's a guy. He's starting a company. Would you like to, could I give him your name?" I said, "Sure." She gave me his name, gave him my name. He called me. I've been working there 7 years in May, and he's never seen my resume. My salary tripled at that time. He paid for me to go to law school. In October, he brought me home. He pays my rent. I can, I don't have any bills. He pays my cell phone. He pays this. He pays that. I can go where I want. He sent my son to Spain. His, all this stuff. And this is only because I trusted. I endured. I kept coming back. I didn't move. I believe God's will for us is just to stay clean. I'm going to tell you, hold on, this is what it says, I'm going to close with this, but this is my favorite paragraph. If you if you earn one and you haven't opened it, I'm about to. Let's try page 112 in step 11. It says, we see that regardless of the presence or absence of material success in our lives, we can be content. We can be happy and fulfilled with or without money, with or without a partner, with or without a partner, with or without a partner. I think you hear me. With or without the approval of others,
yes.
We've begun to see that God's will for us is the ability to live with dignity, to love ourselves and others, to laugh and to find great joy, not just joy, great joy and beauty in our surroundings. Our most heartfelt longings, our longings, what's in here, our most heartfelt longings and dreams for our lives are coming true. These priceless gifts are no longer beyond our reach. They are, in fact, the very essence of God's will for us. Thank you for letting me share.